The Brandon McMillan Podcast is brought to you by Lucy Pet Food. Why feed Lucy Pet Food? Because they specialize in gut health, which is vital to the overall health of your dog. I feed it to all my dogs because it works. Go check them out today at lucypetfood.com. One of the most annoying things dogs can do is bark excessively. Trust me, I know, I train them all day long. And unfortunately, barking is one of the number one causes of animal control being called. And if animal control is called one too many times, now the court systems take over and they deal with you. And trust me, you do not want that to happen. Now, as you all know, I'm a technique junkie. I typically prefer to train my dogs off of technique rather than use a tool. But what happens when I meet that one dog that I just can't get through to them with a technique to stop their barking on command? It's rare, but it happens. This is where I pull out a handy little tool known as the Bark Be Gone. It's a cool little handheld device that with a simple push of a button, it instantly stops your dog from barking. Okay, so how does it work? Don't worry, it's not a shock collar. I wouldn't do that to you guys. It's ultrasonic technology. It simply emits a high-pitched ultrasonic sound which immediately distracts your dog from barking. So stop yelling and screaming at your dog for barking all day long with no results and go to barkbegone.com. And who wants a discount? For 20% off, use the promo code Brandon at checkout. Go to barkbegone.com. That's BARKBEGONE.com. Go check them out right now and stop your dog's annoying barking habit for good. All right, joining me now is this guy actually has such a unique job, and he'll make you look at yourself in the mirror and think to yourself, you've really done nothing with your life when you hear what he does. He's a veterinarian, but what he does, he actually goes to the streets of Los Angeles and a lot of streets of California, and he gives homeless people free vet care for their dogs and their cats, right?
Any pet.
Yeah. I'm just a terrible person now standing next to you. So please welcome Quan Stewart. Thanks for coming on the show, brother.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So let me ask you, I mean, the obvious question, what got you into that? Obviously, you know, you got into vet school. Everybody knows anyone who goes into vet school, they love animals. But what made you change the path into actually going into the streets and helping homeless people?
I don't know. I think, you know, you reflect back on some of this, and I think it's probably a range of factors that suddenly find you at this new doorstep, this new journey. I'll share something I don't often share to start this whole thing off. I was somewhat of a delinquent in high school. There was a girl in my class who said that, going back to like eighth, ninth grade, she's like, yeah, you're not going to be destined for much. And, you know, at the time she was probably right,
yeah,
to her credit. But And so one of the things we used to do in my little gang of friends, and we were kind of this group, we were kind of like a gang of nerds, all really like smart guys, but didn't want to conform. You know, it was back in the days of nonconformity, going to rebel, anarchy. Remember that kind of stuff back in the 80s?
Yeah, yeah.
So we would like...
Too young, but yeah.
I know. All right. Man. I knew I was waiting for that comment.
I was in second grade, but yeah, go on.
Damn it. But we'd go in alleys and hang out or get homeless people to pull out liquor. You know, back in the day, you like can you pull out for us?
Yeah, yeah.
Back in high school. So, you know, one of our go-tos...
No, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, right. I never did that.
It's written all over your face,
too. Yeah. Sorry, Mom. Never did that.
I know my mom's going to hear some of this and what the... But, you know, so funny thing, as I trace back when I had my first encounters with homeless people, it was probably back in high school when they do this quote-unquote favor and get liquor. And then sometimes we'd hang out and drink with them.
Yeah.
And then get to know them. And later I'd come back and bring them lunch or, you know, they're almost like friends. Like, how you doing? And so I think I gained an empathy for those people way back when. You know, this would have been 30 years ago now. And so now fast forward to today, or very recently, you know, past few years, I'm a veterinarian. And up until now, I had just done traditional, you know, work. I'm a normal vet. I go out and I ran practices and veterinary clinics. Not too long ago, my career steered towards, and we can talk about this later because people always want to know what it's like to be on a movie set. But I worked on movie sets with animals and I would oversee their care, right? Best practices. But then it was around the time of the recession. So going back around 2008, we had that big downturn. I was a shelter vet at the time. Mm-hmm. And we just saw huge numbers of animals getting dumped, getting surrendered and relinquished at my shelter. And one, it's heartbreaking, but two, it made me realize there's this huge need, you know, right in my own neighborhood, in my own community. And I wanted to find a way to do something outside of the shelter work. You know, I'm serving the community in a sense, but I don't know what gave me this just silly idea one day to go out and set up a table, like we're sitting here near a homeless food bank near a soup kitchen, right? Homeless people are lined up with their pets. Mm-hmm. And the estimates say that 1 in 4 homeless people own a pet. So about 25% of our homeless population own a pet out on the streets. And that held true when I set up this table. I just go down the line and say, hey, I'm here today. I'm a veterinarian. I see you have a pet. If there's something I can do for your pet, I'll come on over and I'll do it at no cost. Mm-hmm. And then before I knew it, I had a small line, right? And this is going back maybe 8 years ago, give or take. And I thought it was going to be a one-off, a one and done. And there was something, you know, there's something about those moments that it just pulled me in a different direction. And then since I started walking the streets, I just go up in alleys and under bridges and I find homeless people and say, you know, this is what I do. Can I help you?
So what do they think when you come up to them? Do they think it's their lucky day? Or, I mean, it's not every day you're just sitting there and a veterinarian offers their services.
And so, yeah, here's the interesting thing. You see them panhandling on a corner, right? Mm-hmm. And you approach them, they expect it, right? Yeah. They think you're coming to give them money or mm-hmm. offer some aid or something. But when you come around a corner, when you come hot around a corner and they're behind a dumpster with their tarp or their tent and you walk up on them, it's not the same because they're not expecting some good doer just to drop out of the sky and say, hey, what can I do for you today? Yeah. So a lot of them pull back. They're, you know, they're reticent or they're, you know, they're wondering, you know, you can see them recoil, right?
But that's my point though.
Yeah.
Like if I had a veterinarian come up to me and say, I'm going to give your dog free vet care, I'd probably pull back.
Yeah. Too. So very quickly, I announce myself, I'm wearing a scrub top. So I look semi-official. And I say, I'm a veterinarian. I just noticed you have a pet. And I walk the streets looking for people whose pets need care. Would you mind, you know, can I give you a hand? And then, you know, you kind of see them relax. And if they allow me, I immediately just kneel down and I give attention right to the animal. Just take out my stethoscope and start going through my normal routine. And then, you just almost immediately, man, you see this door open. And then we're almost like two friends talking. They start opening up and sharing their story, their past story. And that has been the best part of all this, the stories that I get, which are just remarkable, right? You would never know what some of these people have been through, the challenges they've had. And, you know, I've found sadly that I've made my own stories up for a lot of these people. We all do, right? You see them standing, you look at them and you say, well, you look able-bodied. If I saw someone like you standing in the corner, I would say, why aren't you working? You know, why don't you have a job? And I've said that to myself many times going back before I started doing this. So it's been a learning lesson for me.
Yeah. I'm going to ask the obvious question. What are your thoughts on, do you think homeless people should have animals? And I'm going to ask this in a very, like, I'm going to be careful how I ask this. Do you think homeless people should have animals because they can't often afford the vet care? They don't have the money. Let's say, God forbid, a dog blows their ACL and they're not going to have, you know, that kind of money to fix it. Even basic checkups. Does that ever go through your mind where it's kind of this catch 22? This dog is there for this person. It's all this homeless person has. Or do you have the mind frame of this is wrong? This dog is not getting the care it needs and it's not living the life it should have. Because I am torn right down the middle.
It's a double-edged sword. And you had asked me that same question 8 years ago, I'd probably give you a different answer. But now I can tell you almost unequivocally, these people deserve to be with these animals. And in most cases, those animals deserve to be with that person. And here's why. Let me first tell you where they have us beat. I'll start there. You and I, pet lovers, have pets probably most of our lives. What do? We have jobs, right? We go away 8, 10, 12 hours a day. Sometimes we take vacation, we take trips. And as you know this better than anybody, a pet's whole universe is their owner, right? I mean, they live and die. They pine for us. We leave and they're looking out the shades or pulling back the curtains. When they come home, you just see the excitement. So we're gone most of our pets' lives, relatively compared to the homeless person. They are with them 24 hours a day. Okay. The bond I see between pet and person is unlike anything I've witnessed in my 23 years of practice. So that's number one. Yep. Number two, they both give each other a lot. So the homeless person is there giving the pet, you know, compassion and love on a totally higher scale. And to answer your question about the medical care, yes. So that is the one debate point that's difficult, but they give up their own lunch, their own food for their pets. They make sure they have shelter. And they will seek out care where they can find it.
Yeah.
But you talk about, well, the you gave a good example. Dog loses ACL. Dog has mange. Dog has diarrhea or vomiting for a few days. What do they do, right? How do they get care? Well, sadly, I've seen people, you know, middle-class people in the same circumstance who decline care. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times I've seen a well-to-do person come into my practice, a practice, with a diagnosed torn ACL, and they say, "Yeah, I mean, can he just get by on anti-inflammatories? Is there any therapy I can do?" So no, I don't buy into that every person who has money will make sure they seek out the best care for their animal. I've seen homeless people give up their last dime or do whatever they can in most any circumstance and make sure their pet is cared for above and beyond most normal, if you want to call that, ordinary pet owners.
Give or take, how many people have you worked on the streets?
So I've been, 8 years, again, plus or minus. I estimate I've probably touched around 400 animals.
That's a lot.
Okay. Yeah, well, some people have thought, well, that's a lot. Some people thought, well, you've been doing it for years. But when you're just walking and you're doing one-offs all day.
Yeah.
Numbers don't add up.
I can't imagine you're stopping every 15 minutes right. to give someone vet care.
And I'll spend 90 minutes sometimes talking with them. I mean, we'll sit down. I'll be in an alley and I'll get to know them. And, you know, I give them all the time they need. And in that moment, that dumpster next to that dumpster next to that traffic light, that's my clinic. You know,
yeah.
I treat them like any normal client. I give them my cell number. Something I'm rethink.
Have you regretted that one a few times before?
Look, I mean, I want them to have an outlet for a recheck or a question or a reaction to a drug. You know, I'm their resource. But yeah, I still get hit up sometimes.
Okay, so we've all heard how great omega-3 fish oils are for human consumption. But did you know that fish oils are also beneficial to our dogs? Well, Lifeline Pet Nutrition has a wild Alaskan salmon oil available for our dogs that will provide the same supplemental support. This is nature's perfect source of DHA for brain, eye, and heart health. It will also produce a healthy coat, and this product will reduce excessive shedding by replenishing moisture to your animal's skin. Now, there's fish oils out there that have been bleached and overly processed, but wild Alaskan salmon is one of the few species of fish that remain relatively pure and natural. Believe me, your dog will be licking their bowl clean once they get a taste of this product. And who loves a discount? We all do. So be sure to check them out at lifelinepet.com. That's LIFELINEPET.com for a special 20% discount until September 30th. Be sure to put in promo code Brandon at checkout. They're a great product. I've had my dogs on this for a few months now, and I've seen a substantial difference. So go check them out right now. It's a great product.
Have you ever had a dog that you worked on that you realized this dog shouldn't be with this person?
Yes. Yeah. And if I see 400 animals, I would be lying if I said no.
Yeah. What did you do in that case? I mean, it's because again, you legally can't take the dog. So
no, it's just a hard recommendation or offer them, you know, assistance or outlets to say, look, I can get this dog to a shelter or maybe to a better place. But it's rare, man. You know, people think you're homeless, you're on drugs, or you're crazy, right? Yeah. They think that's 90% of the people out on the streets. That's not the case. Yeah. And more than that, the people that own animals, in my experience, don't have either, or at least a very strong case of either. I don't see a lot of drug addiction or mental illness with a lot of the people I see owning pets because think about it. If you're on drugs every day, you don't have the wherewithal to care for a pet properly, right? You're just kind of disappearing on benders. And, you know, if you're mentally ill, you're schizophrenic, you're not caring for a pet. So most of the people that I meet, again, if I can use this word, you know, for the most part, quote unquote, normal. They're just normal people usually have fallen on hard economic times, bad luck, some bad choices, and they're just living, you know, on the streets.
Yeah. I've always said, people always come down on homeless people for you know, drinking when they're homeless, this and that. I say, you know, let me tell you something. If I was homeless, I might have a few beers a night too. My life is good. I got no problems. I live in a beautiful home and I have a glass of wine every night.
All right, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Do you ever notice that your pet's fur may have lost its shine and not feel as soft as it should? Well, I've been using this elite conditioning shampoo made by Equus on my pack here at the ranch, and it's made a huge difference. The shine and softness of their coats is completely noticeable. You wouldn't put damaging skin products on your own body, so why would you do that with your pet? Equus products are made with the finest quality ingredients available, which are human grade and not industrial grade. That's very important. And they're also backed by a 100% money-back guarantee. And who wants a discount? I love saying that. Visit Equus.com. That's EQYSS.com. And enter Brandon at checkout for a 15% discount. That's Equus.com. EQYSS.com. Check them out right now.
What is one of the most emotional and heartfelt stories you've ever heard of the reason they fell on hard times?
Ugh. So there's a lot. I'll try.
You could pick a few if it's hard to pick the top three.
I'll start with one, and I hesitate to tell the story sometimes because I get a little choked up when I...
Well, don't worry. I got a box of tissues right there, my friend.
We were down in San Diego about three and a half years ago, and there was a homeless man. His name's Mike. And just to paint a picture, Mike was maybe 5'10", thin, blonde hair. He had sort of a scruffy beard. Sweet guy, nice guy, and had this beautiful little silky dachshund with him. And I'm walking by, and same approach I have with everybody. I see I have a pet and sat down next to him. We started talking. And the dog's name was Crazy Girl. I called her Cray Cray. Cray Cray was bumping into walls, and she was obviously blind. You could see that. And her eyes had like a coat, like a milky white coat on them. And he said, well, you know, obviously she's blind. She's been struggling with this for a few months and I'm torn up about it. And he was. We got to talking. Turns out Mike had colon cancer. He lifted his shirt, showed me the colostomy bag. He had come out from Denver for the medical care system out in California, much better, obviously, than most states. So he found his way out here and was living under a tent and getting treatment for his cancer. But then his companion, who he loved more than anything, Crazy Girl, was dealing with this blindness and he didn't know what to do. I examined her. I said, look, I'm a little worried it may be glaucoma, but I don't know that for sure. And I don't have the instruments here to do a full exam. So I can get her into a friend of mine, a colleague, an ophthalmologist here in San Diego who can do the full exam if you want to do it. He said, absolutely, thank you. As we got to talking, and this is the part that chokes me up, he said, I would gladly keep my cancer if you can restore her vision. And he meant that. You know, as I got to know him, you could tell this little dog kept him afloat. You know, it says it was the reason for getting up in the morning. And gave him hope and responsibility and purpose in life while he was battling his cancer. He said, she's the reason I'm able to get through my chemo and get through my treatment. And so anything you can do for her, I would sacrifice anything on my end. So the ending of that story is, unfortunately, she did have glaucoma. It was irreversible. But what we were able to do for it, so glaucoma is a very painful condition. It's pressure in the eyeballs. And over time, this pressure kills the cells that provide vision. So the cells were dead, but the pressure and the pain was still there in her eyes. So we were able to alleviate the pain and the discomfort. And he didn't know that. He didn't know she was in pain additionally. Yeah. And I said, look, she's going to navigate. She's going to figure this out. I said, she's going to figure out the world. Her other senses will become heightened. She's going to be okay. She'll live a happy life. It won't affect her longevity, but now she's out of pain. So he was grateful for that. But yeah, that was, it was good and bad. And, you know, but when I meet people like that, man, it's amazing the feeling I walk away with, how I feel inspired, or I feel so fortunate and blessed for what I have when you just cross paths.
So he, in other words, he's no different than your everyday person that goes into a vet office, people with homes.
No.
I mean, he has the same emotion about his animals than they all do.
He does, more so in my experience. The attachment or the bond that I see with a lot of homeless people and their pets, because a lot of times it's all they have. They don't have jobs. They don't have friends. Their pet is everything.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what about, because there have been a lot of cases where you've had people actually take these dogs out of the homeless people's hands. What is your opinions on that? Because, you know, these, I've, without naming names, I've known a few rescue groups that actually have literally stolen the dogs from these homeless people. And the fact is the dog was not registered. So they called it a stray on the street. They did their diligence, put the signs up in a neighborhood that no one's, you know, this, they knew this guy wasn't going to be in. And they, no one stepped forward. What is your opinion on that? Knowing that they, because according to the rescue groups, they took this dog because the dog was not being properly cared for. It had a condition. Mm-hmm. So this is one of those situations. Again, what do we do? The dog had whatever, a blown ACL, or a dog had a skin condition. Some group, they took the dog away from the guy, and now the organization says, yay, we're the good guys, and the homeless person is now left without a dog. What in that situation, where do you fall? Because it's one of those situations you're kind of torn right in the middle.
That's an interesting question. And probably for me, I guess the best answer would be it's case by case. In general terms, I don't agree with that. To me, that's stealing someone's pet just because that person's living on the streets.
Yeah.
It'll steal their pet. I get it that if the dog is suffering or in pain or needs some sort of medical care, you think you're helping it. And maybe you are. But look, in normal everyday practice, I come across people also that shouldn't have their pet, who aren't doing right by their pet, who are ignoring conditions. I've seen people come in. I've seen someone pull up in a Mercedes before, come in for an exam, and the dog has had a chronic ear infection for 4 months, right? The ears are blistering red. There's gunk ooze coming out of the ears. In some cases, they've lost their hearing because it's been going on so long. And, you know, what excuse do they have? And they're seeing their dog every day. You have means. What's your problem? Should I steal that person's pet as well? So you can look at it both ways, but I get it that, you know, we want to make no mistake about it. My care, my attention goes to the animal. I'm compassionate and empathetic towards the person. No, if I see an animal that's being harmed, I'll step in. If I see an animal that's severely malnourished or starved, then I will do what I have to do. And I can call the local authorities. I worked at a shelter. I know how the system works, and come in and take that dog potentially. But just to go out and think you're, you know, I don't know, rescuing a dog because you assume it has a condition, you assume it's not being cared for because it's owned by a homeless person, I'm not cool with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember this was back in 2007. I remember the year because my brother died the same year. And this is about 2 months after my brother died. I was out in New York, and it was probably like 2-3 o'clock in the morning. After my brother died, I went on this probably like a 1 year just walking spree. I walked the world. I went, mostly spent my time in New York, but I was in Africa, I was in South America. I went all over the world. I remember this one night I was walking in Manhattan. It was right under the Brooklyn Bridge. And probably about 2 o'clock in the morning, there was this homeless guy. And he was, I mean, I didn't know he was homeless at first. I thought it was just a guy crying. He was literally like sitting against the wall, crying, bawling his eyes out. And because I was going through a lot of pain at the moment, I actually stopped and talked to him. I said, "Yeah, all right, man." Because he didn't seem like he was, you know, like unapproachable. I said, "Is everything all right? I said, is there something I can do for you? Something I can help you with?" And he couldn't catch his breath. And after a few minutes, he let it out. He's like, my dog just died. He goes, he's like, my dog I had for 13 years. He goes, from when I had a home, you know, this is our family dog. And he says, when I got divorced from my, you know, my wife, and, you know, I lost my wife, lost my kids, and I had a home, and I took the dog. I was like, all I want was the dog if you're going to take the kids. And he, then eventually he fell on hard times and he lost everything. He lost his house, he lost his job, his cars, but he kept his dog. And it was the only thing holding together, you know. Oh, man. Through all that time. And so, sorry, you're supposed to be getting choked up, not me.
Yeah. It's your turn.
And so so I sat there probably for like maybe like an hour and just talked to him. And I told him what I did, you know, and he was smiling out by the end of our conversation because I told him, I was like, man, I work with dogs, you know. And I told him the best quote that I live by every time I either lose a dog or a best friend or anything. It's a quote by Dr. Seuss. And the quote is, don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened, you know? And so that's the quote I say to all my clients who actually lose their dogs too. And so he, that made him smile. And so anyway, that was like I said, that's one of my most memorable moments with a homeless person, because it showed me the fact that, you know, here's a guy that didn't appear to be a drug addict to me, an alcoholic to me. No, not at all. He just basically, he had a life at one point. One thing led to another, the domino effect happened. And next thing you know, he's on the streets and all he had was his dog, you know, and that dog was holding him together all that time. And he just lost it. He lost it earlier that day. It just shattered his whole life. So yeah. Yeah.
Then you know, right?
Oh, I know, but it's hard. It's, yeah, I know from my own experiences, but when you hear it from somebody else, you never heard. I didn't know this guy. To this day, I don't even know his name. I didn't even ask his name. He didn't know my name. We just like talked about dogs for a good hour and a half. Yeah, and next thing you know, I was telling him about all my dogs and all the ones I've lost and all the ones, you know, he had before he went homeless. So yeah, you realize that these are, it's so easy to judge, like I said, but these are people just like us. And for one reason or another, you know, I don't know what any homeless person went through, but I think they really do have the right to have the same to share the same experiences we have with dogs. Assuming, number one, they have, you know, the mental ability, you know, upstairs to, you know, take care of it, make logical decisions. Like, in other words, you know, feed it every day, make sure it has basic, you know, water and basic yeah. needs. If it's 30 degrees out, put it under a blanket, you know, stuff like that. You
yeah,
know?
And I think a lot of them are smart enough to know, again, basic care for their animal, then seek it where they can, when they need the help. But I love that story, man. And the, you know, in the work I do, a lot of tears have been shed many times.
Yeah.
That was, it sounds like almost a singular encounter that you had, a very memorable one with that homeless person. It almost feels like that happens nearly every time I sit down and meet these people. To be honest, it's heart-wrenching at times, and it causes a little bit of compassion fatigue. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, it's very motivating and inspiring. And again, I walk away feeling I have a very fortunate life.
Now, tell me about your TV show.
Oh, well, hey, look, it's not as popular as yours is, okay?
Hey, come on. Okay. I not only know your TV show, I not only know about your TV show, but I was on it.
Yeah, you were in it. Yeah, and it was a good episode. Yeah, yeah. In fact, your episode out of the 12 was so unique because you were the – every other case was medical in nature.
Yeah.
But I reached out to you because we had this puppy, as you remember, owned by this guy named Andre. Andre, just a character, right? But the puppy was just uncontrollable, right? It was – and when I met Andre, he was literally standing – like in a median,
yeah,
like you see him with the puppy, like trying to dart out in either direction into, like, you know, oncoming traffic. Geez, okay. So I gave the vaccines, probably shot, probably top of the list, deworming, just basic preventative care. But then I said, look, man, I don't know if I'm gonna see you in 3 to 4 weeks. If Kuma, what's the name of the dog? If Kuma is gonna be here in 3 to 4 weeks for the booster shot, if we don't do something about this, you know, this ill-behaved nature, right? You know, it's just no obedience, no recall, nothing. I was really just gonna run out the street and be dead.
Yeah.
So I reached out to you and came over, and man, yeah, remarkable. What you did with Andre and that dog in a matter of a few days was remarkable. Kuma was walking off leash. So that was almost 2 years ago, Brandon. I saw Andre about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
In the same part of Studio City here in LA.
Yeah.
Kuma's a huge pit bull.
Right? I remember he was probably what, 12 weeks old?
Yeah, and probably 35, 40 pounds,
yeah,
something.
Maybe 16 weeks. Yeah, he was young.
He was already big, but yeah. So huge pit bull, big blocky shoulders and mug. And Andre still sort of lives behind that in and out and still on point.
So he's listening?
Still listening, still alive.
I remember the one thing about that guy was you could tell he's not used to being told what to do. So here I am. My job as a trainer is to literally point out your flaws and fix them right there.
He didn't like that.
He was having none of it. No. He was looking at me at the corner of his eye going, really, dude? I've taken guys twice your size out.
Not to belittle Andre or to make any insulting comment. Andre was a cool dude, nice guy, nicest guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I dipped his pass, he had done a little time.
Yeah.
Apparently. So, yeah. You know, he was hardened, right? You could tell he was rough around the edge. I mean, nice guy. And everything I said was, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir.
Yeah.
But then you're right. When you like, you try to lean
I'm
too
I'm coming
hard.
In like Sergeant Slaughter. And he's like, really, dude?
He wasn't going to have
no
that.
Idea who you're talking to.
He was going to cut you, man. He wasn't playing that with you.
Hey, you know, I've gotten that look several times from a lot of my clients. So.
Yeah, so. I think I've looked at you that way. But no, so the show is in Europe. And it's doing pretty good. It's in Europe, Canada.
What's it called?
It's called The Street Vet.
Okay.
And it just chronicles, it's a docuseries that chronicles these stories, you know, my journey on the streets, helping these pets, retrieving these cool stories, you know, a little bit of reveal at the end. Do we save them? Do we help them? And it's 12 episodes. And yeah, I was, you know, it was a passion project. I just love doing it. And my brother made it. My brother is in film. So it was like a brother kind of thing. We skipped all the major cities. Hopped and skipped all the major cities in California, and there it was.
Yeah. Now, where can people find this online if they don't live in Europe?
I don't know that it's living online. It's on broadcast TV in all these places.
Okay.
We're trying to get it to the U.S. For a streamer. I mean, as of now, my own friends and family can't watch it. So it's not here in the U.S. market.
Is there not even clips on YouTube online?
Yeah, you can go on YouTube, and there's clips around. You can cut, and if you go on some of my handles, Instagram, we put clips of the stories. The real vivid, cool ones. So,
what's your Instagram?
It's at Dr. Kwan, DrKwane, and at The Street Vet. So both Instagram handles. We post little short videos about the work, and it's.
I think if they could find even a short video online, it would just speak volumes. Because again, I mean, sometimes it's not about watching the whole show. Sometimes the moments of the show are what sells the show. You know, 90 seconds could be better than 30 minutes.
Yep. Yeah, we had a bunch of those. And so, yeah, a lot of these stories that I talk about, they're all real people with real pets and yeah, very, very moving stories.
Yeah. You, trust me, I lived one. So what else do you do besides veterinary work?
Well, so the street vet work is my passion project. That's my hobby. This doesn't pay the bills. For my street work, I do have a GoFundMe.
Yeah.
And real quick, so that was interesting. I'd been doing this a long time, 8 years. And for most of it, I just did it out of pocket, right?
Yeah.
I set aside some of my salary and committed it to helping the pets of the homeless. My brother and I got this wild idea. Why don't you start a GoFundMe, right? So it was only 6 months ago. We started a GoFundMe in September. And that hit GoFundMe's radar. Because they name a hero of the month, I guess, every month. I didn't know much about this. There's this vetting process and they narrow it down. And every month they choose one hero of the month. Yeah. I wasn't sure it was a big deal, but did you know this? That 10,000 people start a GoFundMe campaign every day. 10,000 people.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it's crazy. And GoFundMe is actually based in San Diego. So they have, I guess, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people to select from. But they selected me as a February Hero of the Month a few months ago.
So obviously the GoFundMe people are animal lovers.
They are. Yeah. They're story lovers, right? People are out helping people in the community and trying to do good things. So that created like my little viral moment. That's when a lot of my story went wide. It was picked up by CNN and USA Today and just about every media outlet. So that was great. And my GoFundMe account went from $4,000 and I had a modest goal of 10,000 mm-hmm. and didn't think I'd reach that.
Yep.
It went from 4,000. I think it's around 110, 15,000 now. Man. So good news is yes, plenty of money to keep doing what I'm doing. I don't have to turn people away. There were times an expensive surgery would come along. I mean, I don't have deep pockets for a $5,000 surgery and I wasn't in a position to always help some of these pets. So now I think that's a thing of the past. I can make sure the people I see, there's an outlet to get continued care. But no, so that's not my day job. My day job, interestingly, is working on film sets. So I'm an advisor to studios that have animals in their movies, in their films.
Yeah.
I do a lot of work for Netflix. So, you know, if you ever see a horse or a dog or a cat or an exotic animal, I advise them on best practices on how to care for the animals. So
is it a lot like AHA?
It's a lot like American Humane. Very similar, except I'm sort of a one-man band.
Okay.
You know, advising directly to the executives, to the directors and producers on these films. And no, it's cool. I get to travel, and it's a polar extreme from, you know, literally, and I have done this one day. This has happened on certain days, Brandon, where I'm like on a film set, standing 5 feet from an A-lister.
Yeah.
Think whoever, think Brad Pitt, whatever. Go to my car. I've changed out, put on my scrubs, and then, you know, walked a back alley looking for a homeless person. And here's the cool thing.
And that's a wrap.
Yeah.
I'm going to go look for homeless people.
I'll see you guys later. Yeah. Have a good idea. Brad, enjoy yeah. But the coolest thing is this, man. When I hear, again, an A-lister, someone on set talking about their pet.
Yeah.
It is no different. If I close my eyes and I was listening to the same homeless person talk about their pet, you wouldn't know there was a difference.
Yeah.
It's such a cool common thread that animal lovers, right? We all sound the same. We gush over our pets. We have, you know, similar experiences. I think it's like a great connector, you know, to all of us, like humanity in some respects, right? It's remarkable. I listen to a story on set and then I go and talk to a homeless person and you wouldn't know I was in a different environment. And I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's really awesome. And I'm so glad you not only met your goal, but you blew it away. So, before we end, any other, organizations you support, any other, I don't know if you have books, anything?
No, so I'll say this.
By the way, you should be the first one to write a book.
Yeah. Well, I've actually been approached about that and it's probably coming.
No, cause you have some cool stories.
There are some
There's not stories. A book in the market like that. I can tell you right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. You're right. So look, I'll close by saying this. A lot of people during this past few months have come out and, you know, hero this, hero that. And if I am, then there are hundreds of heroes like me out there. There are a lot of people who are well-intentioned, who help the less fortunate. Specifically in my profession, there are other vets who do this work too. So I'm not the only one. And I want to say thank you to those others who do the work, who maybe aren't getting the attention. There's an organization called the Street Dog Coalition out of Colorado that does very similar work. It's an organization nationwide. An organization called Feeding Pets of the Homeless does something similar. So thank you to them. And we're all in this together. We don't like to see animals suffer. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And the most vulnerable population of pet owners are homeless people.
Yeah.
And so we're doing what we can to make sure their pets are cared for.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome, man. Dude, I'm so glad we did this, man. This
yeah.
is seriously awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, bro. So, thank you, man.
All right. You just heard Quan Stewart. One more time, what's the name of the GoFundMe?
Yeah, it's GoFundMe Heroes at the Street Vet.
At the Street Vet. Okay, cool. And your Instagram again is?
At Dr. Quan and at the Street Vet.
Okay, and if anyone here who's listening lives in Europe, what country does your show play
it's
in?
I should know this. It's in 30 countries around the world. It's mostly Eastern Europe.
Okay, so matter because I have fans all over the world that listen to this show.
They could, you know, if you're in Bucharest and in some of those countries out, you can look it up. And then it's on Viasat Nature in Eastern Europe.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be here in America soon. It's only a matter of time.
Well, I'm not
getting any smaller, man.
Huh?
You're not getting any smaller.
And I'm going to be shouting my own Emmys next to yours, right?
This is what he makes fun of me for. I make fun of him because he looks like Vin Diesel, and he makes fun of me for enemies.
Uh-huh.
For Emmys, sorry.
Enemies and Emmys. Thanks, man. I appreciate
it. All right, cool. Well, that wraps it up for today. Once again, if you guys haven't done so, please subscribe, rate, and review. It always helps us. And if you don't follow me already on Instagram, at Animal Brandon, Facebook, at Animal Brandon, and Twitter, at Brandon McMillan. And here's my shameless plug of the hour. Pick up my new book, Lucky Dog Lessons, Train Your Dog in 7 Days, anywhere books are sold. All right, everyone, have a good weekend. Be good to each other. And we'll see you next week.